Thank you, Ian, for that kind introduction, and it's good to be able to come together this morning, and we'll take our Bibles in just a moment and study from God's Word, and I appreciate the invitation to be here. I want to thank the elders and the congregation. If I'm not mistaken, this is my third time to be here. The first time I stayed with the Millers, and then I stayed with the Goodalls, and then I'm staying with them as well this time, and so you're either a glutton for punishment or something. I'm not sure what that is, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you again. This congregation has a warm spot in our heart as we come to visit the Goodalls from time to time. We enjoy being here to worship with the good brethren at Lakeland Hills, and I appreciate the invitation again to be with you. Looking forward to being with familiar faces and being with those who might be new among us. So we certainly look forward to this week. Appreciate my in-laws. I tell brethren from time to time that I feel like Moses and Ruth. I feel like Moses with regard to my father-in-law, and I feel like Ruth with regard to my mother-in-law. And both Charles and Vernita have been very instrumental in influencing me in my spiritual life and in my life as a gospel preacher. And it's good to be able to spend some time with them, and I appreciate them greatly. Maybe there have been times in your life, speaking to the parents this morning, you may remember when your children were small, sometimes they would say something that was a little embarrassing, or a lot embarrassing, depending on what they would say. But maybe they would say something like, I heard Mommy and Daddy talking in the car, and they were saying, and you want to stop them real quick, you know. Or, I heard Mommy and Daddy talking the other day. Sometimes they might say something that's a little embarrassing, and maybe we wish at that moment that they weren't talking. If your Bible could talk, if your computer could talk, what would it say about what you view online? If your phone could talk, what would it say about what you text or what you post? If the four walls of your house could talk, what would it say with regard to the conversations that are had there? Or whether or not there is love or hatred there. And if your Bible could talk, what would it say about you and your relationship with God's Word? Would any of these things say something that is embarrassing? Would they say something where, honestly, we probably should change some habits? That's what we want to consider this morning. If your Bible could talk, if my Bible could talk, what would it say about its owner? And I hope that will be a good Bible study for us this morning. Earlier this year, I was given a Bible by a Christian who passed away. And if you didn't know anything about this Christian, you could probably tell something about them by this Bible. This Bible had a brown cover on the outside of the original Bible, and that brown cover had two different colors of duct tape on it. It had white duct tape and black duct tape on the binding. So here's a cover on the outside of a Bible, and then that cover had been duct taped. If you didn't know anything about this person and you just saw that, you would think, well, that Bible has probably been opened and closed a lot, and that binding is getting cracked. And so this person is wanting to keep that Bible alive, and so they duct taped the cover. Inside this Bible, it was the person's name, and then it said 1974. So you would think, well, this person has had this Bible for a long time, and they've wanted to keep it around and keep it in use. There are copious notes all over this Bible. The blank pages in the front and in the back have notes, and then, of course, where the text is in the margin. There's all kinds of things that are circled and cross-referenced, and this word means this, and arrows drawn up here. And if you saw that, not knowing anything about the owner, you would probably think, well, this person is interested in extra study, wanting to really know what is in the text, more than just reading the Bible. And if you looked at this Bible on the outside of the pages, you would see that they were worn and frayed. You could tell that those pages had been turned a lot. And it's a Bible years ago, the manufacturers used to put red on the outside of the pages. I see an old Pew Bible up here that has one of those. That red is all worn off. So if you didn't know anything about the person, you would at least think, well, that Bible's been used a lot. If your Bible could talk, what would it say? That Bible happened to belong to my father. He passed away earlier this year, and I was glad to get it after the funeral. If your Bible could talk, what would it say? That's what we want to consider this morning. If your Bible could talk, would it say, my owner doesn't open me between church services? Or would it say, my owner does open me between church services? God's Word, Matthew 4 and verse 4, is to be something that guides us each and every day. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4 and verse 4. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God, and he meditates on that day and night. Brethren, let God's Word be something that is in our life each and every day. It's not just something that we open in a Bible class on Sunday morning, and then we don't open it again until Wednesday night when we come back to Bible class. That Bible that I just told you about was one of several Bibles that I saw at home growing up as a child that we had around our kitchen table when we had the habit of reading God's Word every morning after breakfast. That was our daily family Bible time. When I talk to my oldest brothers and sisters, they tell me that Mom and Dad had not started that habit when they, my oldest sister was born in 1948. I was born in 1965, and after Mom and Dad had gotten their family for several years and gone through that process, they decided with the younger children, and regretted that they didn't start it with the older children, but with the younger children, they started daily Bible reading every day after breakfast, and we did that growing up. One time, the school bus was coming. You could hear it coming down the road. We lived out in the country. You could hear it coming down the road. And I'm rushing around. I said, Dad, I got to get on the bus. And he said, we haven't read the Bible yet. Well, I got to get on the bus. He said, well, you're not going to get on the bus. We're going to read our Bible. We'll figure out what to do after that. If we need to do something else, we'll do something else. But we're going to sit down. We're going to read the Bible. We read the Bible every day after breakfast. And let me encourage you to do that. Try to have some Bible time with your spouse, with yourself, with your family. We're losing some of that in our modern day society. Let it not be lost among us. We need God's Word each and every day in our lives. Don't let it be something that is only opened up when we're here at the church building. If your Bible could talk, would it say, my owner reads me but doesn't really know me or understand me? Jesus said in Matthew 22:29 to the Sadducees, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Well, they read them every Sabbath in the synagogue. They heard them, but they didn't understand. They didn't put two and two together. They didn't, for example, read Exodus 3, what Jesus is talking about there, where God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and really contemplate what that means to say in the present tense, I am, present tense, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, that means that he's still their God. They must still be living in the afterlife, and so there is a resurrection. They didn't put all of that together. They just read. And we know about Acts chapter 8. These are various passages, if you're taking notes, that deal with reading and understanding. Philip said to the eunuch, "Understandest what thou readest." That's the goal, not just reading, but understanding. And so take the notes and ask the questions. And in Bible class, raise the hand and say, "What does that mean? I want to learn. I don't just want to read." Because when I learn and understand, then I can begin to make the necessary applications. The things written aforetime were written for our what? Learning, not reading or hearing. Our learning. Let Bible classes be learning situations. And I know you have good Bible class teachers here. I've been impressed with that when I've sat in the Bible classes here. Let the Bible classes, let the teachers, from the adults all the way down to the little kids, be about learning the text. Teaching and learning and understanding the text. Good Bible study. We have on our signs out front that Bible class starts at such and such time. Make sure that it's Bible. We're getting good Bible during that period of time, and that we're explaining and learning and understanding. And so Acts 17:11, you see that well-known passage. When we search the Scriptures, when we examine the Scriptures, then we know them, we understand them, and we can put them into application in our life. Would our Bible say that my owner reads only favorite passages, but nothing else? A lot of times folks can open up their Bible and they know right where Psalm 23 is. That's the one that gets read a lot, right? Or I know where the Lord's Prayer is. You know, turn over there. Got that one. But where is anything else in the Word of God? Paul preached the whole counsel of God in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. So, I know where John 3:16 is, right? And I know where Acts 2:38 is. Of course, you know, baptism, we know where that is. We can flip over there real quick. But what about those other Bible passages that tell us about our marriage and our family and being a good Christian and things involving the local church and in talking with our neighbor about the plan of salvation, where we can go for those various passages? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithfully. Where can we go for these types of Bible passages? We need to know all of God's Word, not just those favorite Bible passage. That's why a good preaching and teaching program in the local church will cover a variety of Bible passages. And in our daily Bible reading at home, we're reading from Matthew to Revelation, from Genesis to Malachi. We're reading all the way through there. We're getting a well-rounded understanding of all that God wants for us. It's very important. Would my Bible say that my owner reads a verse to make a point, but doesn't read the context above and below? A lot of times you'll be having religious discussions with individuals, and maybe it's on the subject of baptism, and you're trying to point out the importance of baptism. And they'll jump over to a verse on faith. This verse says faith, and that's all that it says. And so you go back and forth, and a lot of times what's happening here is what we call proof texting. We're picking out a verse that we think proves our point, but we're not reading the context above and below. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, and let's see how the devil did this. I find it interesting that the one time in Scripture where the devil appeals to Scripture, he blows it. He misuses it. And that's by design. The devil cannot use the Word of God in a good way to benefit him. He can't do that. He's going to have to twist it and distort it in some way. The one time the devil appeals to Scripture, he gets it wrong. Turn through to Matthew chapter 4 with regard to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. We're familiar with this passage where after the baptism of Jesus, Jesus was immediately led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4 And then verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. And the tempter came and said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's a good quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, because the Israelites were in the wilderness, right? And this is a passage taken from a context of God's people in the wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness, and he's quoting from a passage that directly applies to his own situation. So that shows you about the proper use of Scripture there. But look at verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now here's the one time the devil quotes Scripture. It's written, and then he has a quotation from Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, and we're going to turn back there in just a minute. If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and on his hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now hold your hand there and turn to Psalm 91. This passage that the devil quoted, he quoted it right. That wasn't the problem. He didn't misquote it. The problem was he took it out of its context and he's now applying it to another kind of context. He's taking a context of Jesus who is up. Let's go up on top of the pinnacle of the temple, or the wing, probably the corner of the wall there, maybe on the southern end by the Kidron Valley. You can look down there. And you jump off, and God will save you. Because there's a verse in the Old Testament that says that his angels will bear you. So jump off and see if God will save you, because that's what the verse says. So that's the context where the devil is trying to use it. But when you turn back to Psalm 91, you find that God will help his people, but it's a different kind of context. What kind of context is it? Now, you can look at Psalm 91. Verses 11 and 12 are the verses that the devil quoted. Okay? But if you start back in verse 1, you're going to find that the security that is being promised here, verse 1, it's being promised to God's people who daily put their trust in God. They're not trying to test God. They're not trying to put God on trial and force him to save you. They're just daily serving God and trusting God. So look at, for example, 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto Jehovah, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and so forth. It's daily walking and serving God. He will secure you. It's not someone who puts God to the test and say, okay, now I'm about to jump, you better bail me out. That's a different kind of a thing. So the devil is quoting the verse accurately, but he's misusing the context. In fact, drop down just below verses 11 and 12, starting in verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and so forth. This is someone who loves God, who's daily walking in his word and his will, trusting in God. God's going to securely hold him. It's not about someone who's putting God to the test. So here's the devil taking a passage out of its context. May we never do that when we read and study the Word of God. We don't want to misuse it. So we're familiar with 2 Timothy 2:15. We are to handle accurately or handle aright the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:16, we're not to twist the Scriptures or wrest the Scriptures to our own destruction. We're not supposed to do that. So let's make sure that when we study and read and quote and reference our Bible, that we're always keeping each passage in its context. Along that same line, then, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 4. How did Jesus respond to this? If our Bible could speak, would it say, "My owner reads verses to make a point"? That's what the devil did. Took it out of its context. "But neglects verses elsewhere that teach more truth on that point." This happens a lot, again, when you're studying with someone. They will quote a Bible passage. "Well, see, this verse says faith, and so all you have to have is faith in order to be saved." But they won't quote other Bible passages that talk about what we need to be doing to be saved. There are other things, and so there's more truth elsewhere. So how did Jesus respond to the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7? Look at the very first words of verse 7. Jesus said unto him, "Again," look at that little word, "again it is also written." Yes, devil, that's right. The psalm says this. But again, over here, the Bible also says this. And God's word never contradicts itself. There is another Bible passage that says you're not to make trial of the Lord. Don't test or make trial of the Lord. And so he comes back to the book of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. So devil, whatever you're quoting, it can't contradict what is being said over here. And that is, we're not to test or make trial of God. And that's exactly what you're asking me to do in jumping off the temple and let's see if God will help me. That's what you're asking me to do. And so the verse you just quoted cannot be applied to what you're asking me to do. So make sure that when we study with folks, even in our own preaching and teaching, number one, that we're always keeping Bible passages in context, and number two, that when we're talking about a given topic, whatever it is, work of the church, worship of the church, plan of salvation, marriage, family, whatever, get all of what God's Word says about that. Now, you may not have time in one sermon to do that. We may have to come back and, you know, part two, part three, or whatever, but we need to get all of what the Bible says on a matter before we draw a conclusion on that matter. So when we're reading verses here, then we also need to say, well, again, over here, there are other things that are said. If our Bible could talk, would it say that my owner doesn't know where basic teachings are found? You can look at some of the statistics that are out there today, and many, many people, especially in the younger generations coming up, and I'm glad to see our young ladies up here in the front and others throughout the auditorium, got their Bibles open, taking notes. Biblical illiteracy is on the rise. People are not reading and learning and studying their Bible. More and more people are getting God out of their life, the Bible, church, prayer, those types of things. And we're seeing more and more people that just simply do not know their Bible. Make sure that we know our Bible. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, we're familiar that God's people at that time, Hosea says, "My people," God through Hosea says, "My people are destroyed because of a what? A lack of knowledge." Okay. The Bible is everywhere. It's the most printed book. It's the most sold book. It's the most popular book. And yet, it's often, in many cases, the most neglected book. When Jesus was in the synagogue in Luke 4:17, the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him, and the text says that he turned to the place. He turned to the place where it says. It's a passage in Isaiah. Do you know where to turn? Do you know where to turn to find certain things that you need to find? I teach the high school class at home, and sometimes I can tell that we need to go back and just do the basics. If I were just to ask them to rattle off the books of the Bible, they can get a little ways and then they forget some of them. I remember when our kids were coming on, we were so proud that when they were, you know, 2, 3 years old, they could rattle off the books of the Bible and the 12 apostles, you know, or something like that. And we put them up in front, "Hey, say the books of the Bible for Brother so-and-so." Are we still doing that? Our kids, our grandkids. There's biblical illiteracy that's on the rise, and we need to make sure that we're not affected by that. These different passages in the book of John talk about Jesus knowing the Scripture and going to it and just referring to it. Look at those places in the book of John where something was happening and Jesus just quoted the Scripture. As I get older, I get forgetful. And I'm not talking about just old age forgetfulness or your mind draws a blank there for a minute. That's always going to be the case. I'm talking about just sort of wholesale lack of knowledge. We just need to be making sure that we know our Bibles and we know what is in the text. Paul on trial in Acts 23, verse 5, just the Scripture just sort of rolls off of his lips. You don't find these men, hey, wait a minute, let me go try to find this in the Bible, or let me call Ian, or let me call somebody. We need to know what's in our Bible. There are going to be times when we are forgetful. There are going to be times where we can't remember something. I'm not talking about that. Know what is in the Word of God. Just the basic Bible teachings. Very important for our lives today. If our Bible could speak, would it say, my owner doesn't believe that I am relevant for today? One reason why a lot of people aren't reading their Bible is, frankly, they just don't think it's relevant for the 21st century. I mean, modern man, we've got our modern jobs and modern family and modern issues, and I've got things going on in my life, and this book, I mean, it was good for my parents or my grandparents. You know, they read it. I remember when they read it. But really, you know, for a modern person, it's just not for me today. I've got things going on in my life that I need to take care of and that I need to, get with my friends on Facebook and talk about. And, it really isn't for me. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 25 with regard to the Word of God, the Word of the Lord abides forever. You know, the grass withers and it's withering badly in Middle Tennessee. We haven't had rain since mid-August. I've been trying to water and keep some things alive. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord abides forever. What you hold in your hands this morning, friends, can deal with everything that is going on in your life. Good or bad. Everything. There's not one marital issue, family issue that God's Word cannot help you with. Job issue, neighbor issue, nation issue. We've got some issues in our nation that we need to deal with. Everything. This is not some dry, dusty, dirty, ancient manuscript that can't do anything for us today. It's relevant. And we would do well to keep it in our life. And I know the good brethren here already do that. I would encourage you to keep doing that. I mean, why do we have a gospel meeting this week? Why will we be turning in our Bible this week to various kinds of things if it wasn't relevant? There's nothing wrong with young people knowing statistics and things. My son can rattle off. Well, I've got a couple of sons that can rattle off all kinds of gator statistics and football and basketball statistics, things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But do we know our Bible? We know things of this life. We watch the stock market. We watch the news. We stay up with Facebook. All the tweeting going on. We can't wait to look at the text that we got on our phone. We can't wait to look at our email. Did somebody like me on Facebook? And we just constantly check that. And there's nothing wrong with having those things or checking those things. But more so, we need to be knowing our Bible and applying our Bible We need to be running to it. It's a text from God. It's a post from God. And I mean that very seriously. It's relevant for us today. There are mental issues that brethren face, and troubles and trials and marriage issues. And we lost a young man last year in Clarksville. He's in his late 20s. He took his own life. His dad came home and found him at home. And he'd taken his own life. And I'll just stop right there. I won't go any farther. It's very sad. People struggle with things. That book can help us, but we've got to have it in our life. And he had decided not to allow it to be in his life. I tried to help him with that. And he took his life. His life was fed with information from friends and from other things that he was doing. So let us make sure that the Bible is relevant for us. If my Bible could speak, would it say, "My owner doesn't believe that I am the very Word of God"? Many are losing their trust that the Bible is the actual Word of God. And we have people teaching in seminaries and state universities and departments of theology that say that the Bible is just a book of man. It's got some good, interesting information, but it's not the very Word of God. No miracles, no inspiration, and so forth. Peter says that men were moved by the Holy Spirit, spake when they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. This is not a book of opinions and think-sos, but we trust it as the very Word of God. Would my Bible say that my owner expects the wrong thing from me? God's Word is there to give me instruction, to give me teaching, to give me correction, an instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Every Scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness. I think sometimes people own a Bible, but they expect the wrong thing from it. It's there to help us to get to heaven. And we might have to bring our life into conformity to what it's willing and wording. We might have to be taught. We might have to be willing to be reproved. We might have to be corrected. We might have to be instructed. But it's there to help us. But we've got to make sure it's in our life each and every day. Back to that daily Bible reading point. Let me encourage you. I know that habits are hard to start sometimes. But once you get them started and get it up and going, you can do really well with it. It's just getting it started. So let me encourage you. Read your Bible each and every day. If you're not doing that, get a Bible app on your phone. It'll bring up a few verses each day you can look at. We always look at our phone, and the Bible's right there. Keep a Bible by your bed. I do this. I have a little nightstand, little Bible there. I try to read a little bit and then go to bed. Pick a time where you can spend some personal time with the Lord. Early in the morning, middle day, at evening. And at the very beginning, it's going to be hard. You might forget a day or two. That's fine. Get it the next day. But once you develop that habit, you can do that. And it will be greatly rewarding for you. And it will give you what God wants for you. Would my Bible say, "My owner carries me in the hands, but not in the heart"? Turns me to 1 John 2:14. We're coming down toward the end of our lesson here. We need to have it in our heart. That's how we can withstand the devil. 1 John 2:14. "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." We don't want to just simply carry it in our hands. "Well, I carry it to the church building." Make sure that it's in our heart. Would my Bible say my owner reads me but doesn't obey me or allow me to change his or her life? In Revelation 1 and 3, we are to hear. Blessed are those who hear and read and do the words of this prophecy. Very practical. Allow it to change my life and better my standing with God. And then last of all, would my Bible say my owner sometimes adds to or takes from my words? We have that going on so much in the religious world today, and that's one reason why we have so many religious denominations and things of man adding to and taking from the Word of God. Let us never do that. Sometimes you'll hear in a Bible class a verse will be read and then the person will say, but, nope, no buts, no buts. Or a verse will be read and then, I think, nope, not going to add to, not going to take from. Take it at face value, read it, believe it, obey it, understand it without adding to or taking from. Well, the lesson is yours. If your Bible could talk, what would it say? And if there's something in here this morning that we need to change, I apply this to myself just as much as to anybody else. Go home, make those necessary attitude adjustments, and have a right relationship with our Bible, and that will bring us into a right relationship with God. Thank you for your time this morning.